I want to do something a little different for these next two sessions, both the one this morning and then the one this evening. I want to use the basic story from The Lion King as a parable for drawing out the teachings of the Scripture about God as our Father and us as His sons, and by extension, we as fathers to our own children too, of course. Now, some of you might be thinking, now, isn't The Lion King a children's cartoon? It's an animated film, not a cartoon. All right, there's a big difference. And as we get into it, I think you'll quickly begin to realize that this is indeed not a children's cartoon. This film actually provides a very rich background for the things that the Bible teaches us about God as our Father and us as His sons. Now, this is not a Christian film for those who are, you know, anal in that particular way. So I'll just be real clear about that. Not every idea in this film is something that we would agree with as Christians. We're simply using the story as an illustration or a parable for biblical truths and principles. All right? As we get into the story of the film, I think you'll be surprised at just how closely it follows our story, though. Faith is sanctified imagination. And it's my hope that your imagination will be ignited and be nourished through these film clips and the teachings that are drawn from it, growing your faith in your Father and your understanding of what it means to be His son. So use your sanctified imagination today as we, use these illustrations, these parables that we'll be looking at that are drawn from this film. Now, when I make a reference to us as fathers, because some of the teaching and some of the stuff we'll learn about is about us as fathers too, and imitating our own Father, our Heavenly Father, it's important that we see that as something larger and more inclusive than literal a father of a biological child. Okay, I'm using the term in a lot larger way. We are all fathers, in a sense, regardless of whether we've got biological children ever or not yet, never have. Because in a sense, those who are under our care and under our leadership, we are fathering them in this particular way. You may be a single guy without any children, but you have people who look to you for leadership and for guidance and for protection and encouragement and strength and courage. These are all things that a father provides for those under his care. So I want you to use your imagination as we go through these film clips. There are lots of ways that the spiritual truths can be applied in our life if we use our imagination, our sanctified imagination, our faith, our spiritual eyes. So last thing I'll say as a prelim is to make these parables as obvious as possible for those who may have trouble connecting the dots up front. And I'll help us connect dots as we get along here. But in general, we're Simba, and God is Mufasa, our father, okay? Qualities that we see in our Mufasa, the Lord, are qualities that we want to duplicate in ourselves as fathers, leaders, men of God too. All right. Now, there are three things that I want us to take particular note of in this first clip. One is that the father imparts vision to his son. When I say the father, I'm talking God as our father, does this for us. We as fathers, we want to do this for our sons. The father imparts vision to his son. The father gives his son boundaries to live by. And the father teaches his son the skills that he needs for life. These are the three things we're going to see in this first clip.
Look, Simba. Everything the light touches is our kingdom.
Wow.
A king's time as ruler rises and falls like the sun. One day, Simba, The sun will set on my time here and will rise with you as the new king.
And this will all be mine?
Everything.
Everything the light touches. What about that shadowy place?
That's beyond our borders. You must never go there, Simba.
But I thought a king can do whatever he wants.
Oh, there's more to being king than getting your way all the time.
There's more?
Simba. Everything you see exists together in a delicate balance. As king, you need to understand that balance and respect all the creatures, from the crawling ant to the leaping antelope.
Dad, don't we eat the antelope?
Yes, Simba, but let me explain. When we die, our bodies become the grass, and the antelope eat the grass. And so, we are all connected in the great circle of life.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Well, the buzz from the bees is that the leopards are in a bit of a spot.
Oh, really?
The baboons are going...
What are you doing, son?
Pouncing.
Let an all-pro show you how it's done.
I told the elephants to forget it, but they can't.
Zazu, would you turn around?
Yes, sire. The cheetahs are hard up.
Stay low to the ground.
Cheetahs never prosper.
Yeah, okay, stay low to the ground, right, yeah.
What's going on?
A pouncing lesson.
Oh, very good. Pouncing. Pouncing? Oh, no, sire, you can't be serious. Oh. This is so humiliating.
Try not to make a sound.
What are you telling him, Mufasa? Mufasa? Simba?
That's very good.
Okay. First thing was the father imparts vision to his son. The father gives his son an understanding of who he is, his calling, his responsibility, his future, his purpose, the scope of his life, the breadth and the depth of his call and his responsibilities. Mufasa said, everything the light touches is our kingdom. Do you remember the scripture passages that we read earlier about being co-heirs with Jesus Christ? Our father was doing the same thing, wasn't he? Everything that is Jesus's is ours too. We're co-heirs with him. We were not put here on this planet to just put our 80 years in growing our pile of dirt. We're sons of the king. We've been called to pursue the purposes he has for us. And I pray for each of us that we would get hold of the vision that our Father has for us and pursue it. Live for the promise. Live for the vision of your Father. Do you remember how the Lord took Abraham up on the bluff and he showed him the expanse of the promised land? He says, as far as your eye can see, all the way to the sea and all the way up there to that mountain range and all the way down there to Egypt and all the way over there. All of this, Abraham, is yours. I promise this to you and your generations. Well, our Father's done the same thing for us. But our inheritance is more than just a physical inheritance. It's a spiritual inheritance. He says, look, as far as you can see, this is our kingdom, son. Second thing that we wanted to see is that the father gives his son boundaries to live by. Remember Simba, he asked him, well, what about that shadowy place over there? And Mufasa said, you must never go there. That's not our kingdom. Even though we're sons of the great king, it doesn't mean that we are to do whatever we want. We're to behave like sons of the king, obeying his rules and setting examples for others. 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul said to Timothy, says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. That's what it means to be a son of the king. We set an example for for others to follow. Over in Titus 2:11, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who's given himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." Simba said, "I thought a king could do anything he wants." And his father said, "There's more to being a king than getting your way all of the time." See, a godly leader, a godly father is a servant leader. This is what Jesus has taught us. We are to lay down our lives for others, just like Jesus laid down his life for us. See, our culture tells us to look out for ourselves, to get ours first, to put ourselves in front. But our Father teaches us to put the needs of others before our own. Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." See? That's the attitude of our King and for us. Mufasa, he talks about the balance that everything is in and how the king needs to understand and respect that balance and seek to uphold it. And, you know, in the Lion King, they're talking about, you know, the circle of life and all this stuff. But the general idea under that holds true for us, because in a similar way, we need to understand and uphold the will of our Father. We need to be big picture people rather than very small, preoccupied with our own personal agenda and interests. We're living for our Father's purpose and will. We want to be big picture people. Third, the father teaches his son the skills he needs for life. And he teaches him about what it means to be a king, a father, a leader. He gives him a pouncing lesson. I love that scene, how that plays out there, because it's such a beautiful illustration, really, of our Father with us, too. I want us to, you know, to have noticed the relationship that the Father has with his Son. It's warm. It's comfortable. There is a security that the Son has with his Father. He says, "What are you doing, Son?" Pouncing. He's not embarrassed by that. He's not afraid that his Father's going to make fun of him, ridicule him in some way. He's not going to be mocked. He's not going to be belittled. He's very encouraging. And he compliments him on a good job, right? Pounces on the bird and he goes, "Very good. That's a good job." We have a father that we can share anything with without fear. We're invited to approach the throne of grace, the throne of our King, with confidence, with security, with boldness, with excitement, without fear, it tells us in Hebrews 4:4. This is our Abba, our Father, our Daddy. We're loved beyond imagination, so we don't need to be afraid. We can come to Him. Like I shared last night, I lived mostly in fear of my dad most of the time growing up. My Heavenly Father is not like that. And He doesn't want us to live like that with Him. He's not going to make fun of me. He's not going to belittle me. He's not going to run me down. He's the lifter of my head, it tells me in Psalm 33. I love that image. He's the lifter of my head. Okay. In this next clip, we're going to see the discipline of the father with his son in this clip.
This is it. We made it. Whoa. It's really creepy, yeah. Isn't it great?
We could get in big trouble.
I know. I wonder if its brains are still in there.
There's only one way to know. Come on, let's go check it out.
The only checking out you will do will be to check out of here.
Oh, man.
We're way beyond the boundary of the Pride Lands.
Look, Banana Beak is scared.
It's Mr. Banana Beak to you, Fuzzy. And right now, we are all in very real danger.
Danger? Ha! I walk on the wild side. I laugh in the face of danger. Ha 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 ha!
Well, 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 Banzai, what have we got here?
I don't know, Shenzi. What do you think, Ed? Just what I was thinking. A trio of trespassers.
And quite by accident, let me assure you. A simple navigational error.
Whoa, wait. I know you. You're Mufasa's little stooge.
I, madam, am the king's major domo.
And that would make you...
the future king.
Do you know what we do to kings who step out of their kingdom?
Puh, you can't do anything to me.
Technically they can. We are on their land.
But Zazu, you told me they're nothing but slobbering, mangy, stupid poachers.
Ixnay on the Oopid's Day.
Who are you calling Oopid's Day?
My. Oh, look at the sun. It's time to go.
What's the hurry? We'd love you to stick around for dinner.
Yeah, we could have whatever's... lying around.
Wait, I got one. Make mine a cub sandwich. What you think? What, Ed? What is it?
Hey, did we order this dinner to go?
No.
Why?
Because there it goes!
Simba!
Was it? Do it again.
Huh?
Hey, oh, please. Uncle.
Silence!
Hey, come on, we're gonna shut up right now.
Stop tampering. We're really sorry.
If you ever come near my son again.
Oh, this is your son?
Oh, yours?
Did you know that?
No, me? I didn't know. No, did you?
No, of course not.
No.
Ed?
Doodles.
Dad,
You've deliberately disobeyed me.
Dad, I'm sorry.
Let's go home. Simba, I'm very disappointed in you.
I know.
You could have been killed. You deliberately disobeyed me. And what's worse, you put Nala in danger.
I was just trying to be brave like you.
I'm only brave when I have to be. Simba, being brave doesn't mean you go looking for trouble.
But you're not scared of anything.
I was today.
You were?
Yes. I thought I might lose you.
Oh, I guess even kings get scared, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what?
What?
I think those hyenas were even scarier.
'Cause nobody messes with your dad. Come here, you.
Oh, no. Come here. Gotcha. We're pals, right?
Right.
And we'll always be together, right?
Simba, let me tell you something that my father told me. Look at the stars. The great kings of the past looked down on us from those stars.
really?
Yes. So whenever you feel alone, just remember that those kings will always be there to guide you. And so will I.
A lot of good stuff in that. Jesus, he tells us that obedience to our Father is how we show our Father love. Over in John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And in 1 John 5:3, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Unfortunately, every one of us have and do deliberately disobey our Father sometimes. Sometimes we do it with what we think are good intentions. Sometimes it's just straight up rebellion. And there's everything in between, isn't there? Even though Simba is at fault in getting himself and Nala into trouble, his father still jumps in and protects him. Why do you think that is? It's because his father loves him. His father loves him. His father, he doesn't take the attitude, "Hey, you got yourself into this fix, boy. You can get yourself out of it." No. His father never turns his back on him. And the same is true for us. Our father loves us. And he is not going to turn his back on us. We have promises all over in the scripture that reassure us of our father's love and his commitment to us. John 10:27, for example, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man, but God is faithful, and he'll not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Romans 8:35, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or our own stupidity? No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Simba is disciplined for his wrongdoing, as he should be. Our Father disciplines us too. I think we all get that part. I don't want to dwell on that aspect, but on what follows and how he carries this discipline out. And, the whole picture of it here, and it's this, is that after the discipline, there's this reassurance of the Father's love for his son. I mean, the father, he uses this teachable moment with his son. There's not just the discipline. You're in trouble. Here's the punishment for what you've done wrong. There's also instruction. There's this renewing and a strengthening of the relationship that takes place. Some of the things the father teaches his son. Mufasa says, "You deliberately disobeyed me, and what's worse, you put Nala in danger." See, putting others at risk, misleading others, causing others to sin, failing to lead by example. These are things that we're to take seriously. Something that we're going to be reminded of again and again in several of these clips is that we are never acting alone. We don't live in a vacuum. What we do affects others. And a godly man is mindful of that, considering the well-being of others above himself. You put Nala in danger. When Simba steps into the big footprint of his father. Remember, was there? I mean, it's such a powerful image, isn't it? And he's reminded of his father's size and his power and his dependence on his father. And we too, we're dependent on our father. We need his strength and his power. I mean, he tried to go out, kind of, you know, do what he thinks dad would do, but he really wasn't ready for that. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul, he was writing in about some weakness in his own life. And he prayed to God about that. And he said, this is what he said to me. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. I put my little paw in his big old paw print, and I'm boasting in that big old paw print that my little old paw is stuck in. It's his strength, his power. Third, Mufasa says, being brave doesn't mean you're going to go looking for trouble. True bravery is a humble courage. And as men, we can show a false bravery, a bravado, and pride, trying to hide our insecurities, really, is what we're doing, isn't it? And this false form of bravery, it doesn't protect and provide for others. It's a self-centered thing. It's looking out to protect ourselves and to provide for ourselves. That's not true bravery. Mufasa says, fourthly, let me tell you something my father told me. Look up at the stars. The father, he helps his son to see that they are part of something much bigger than themselves. They're part of a chain that reaches back through generations, and they are responsible for passing it forward to the next generations. So we need to decide if we're living for our own selfish small interests, or we're going to live for this larger, grander purpose of the King, of our Heavenly Father, say? I want us to remember how the Father and the Son, they play together. See, after all the discipline and this other stuff that's going on, they're wrestling around in the grass, right? I mean, it's just this beautiful image. And it's an important element in developing a relationship between a father and his son. Did your father play with you? Don't answer that out loud. Some of you, oh yeah, all the time. Some of you go, no. What about our Heavenly Father? How do we play with him? We can't run and jump and roll in the grass with him physically. But our relationship with him, it should be a playful thing. It should be a joyful thing. It should be a pleasant experience rather than the strict, everything is always business all the time type thing. C.S. Lewis said, joy is the serious business of heaven. And I like that, the way he expressed that. Joy is the serious business of heaven. The Westminster Catechism says, man's chief end, or man's main purpose, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Play. Enjoy your Heavenly Father. If you're not enjoying him, then there's something faulty with your understanding of who your Father is. He wants you to enjoy him. He wants you to experience this play with your Father. I love when Simba says, Dad, we're pals, right? He says, right. Your Heavenly Father says the same to you. You're pals. The last thing is Mufasa says, I will always be there to guide you. And our Father's promised always to guide us too. Remember, the Holy Spirit is our constant companion. John 14:16, Jesus says, I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be with you. All right, last clip for today. In this last clip that we're going to look at this morning, we have an enemy who wants to rob us of our sonship, of our inheritance, of our blessings, of our privileges. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter said, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour."
Now you wait here. Your father has a marvelous surprise for you.
Ooh, what is it?
If I told you, it wouldn't be a surprise now, would it?
If you tell me, I'll still act surprised.
You are such a naughty boy.
Come on, Uncle Scar.
No. This is just for you and your daddy. You know, a sort of father-son thing. Well, I'd better go get him.
I'll go with you.
No. No. Just stay on this rock. You wouldn't want to end up in another mess like you did with the hyenas.
You know about that?
Simba, everybody knows about that.
Really?
Oh, yes. Lucky Daddy was there to save you, eh?
Oh, and just between us, you might want to work on that little roar of yours, hmm?
Oh, okay. Hey, Uncle Scar, will I like the surprise?
Simba, it's to die for.
Is on the move.
Mufasa, quick, stampede in the gorge. Simba's down there.
Simba?
There, on that tree!
Hold on, Simba!
Help!
Simba, what have you done?
A wildebeest, and he tried to save me. It was an accident. I didn't mean for it to happen.
Of course you didn't. No one ever means for these things to happen. But the king is dead. And if it weren't for you, he'd still be alive. What will your mother think?
What am I gonna do?
Run away, Simba. Run. Run away and never return.
Simba's father gave his strength and his life to save his son. We have a father who's done the same for us. Our father gave the most precious thing he had, Jesus, to rescue us from destruction. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So we see that as that, clearly one of the images in that scene. But our enemy, the devil, he's called the father of lies in John 8:44. He constantly tells us lies, just like Scar lies to Simba. He lies to us about the true character of our father, lies to us about who we are, and lies to us about what we've done. He wants to keep us beaten down and insecure and in a place of questioning our position with our father. He wants to rob us of strength and courage and joy. He wants to rob us of our inheritance, of our sonship, all of the rights and privileges that come along with that. Just like Scar, he wanted to rob Simba of his inheritance as the son of the king. Your enemy wants to rob you of the same thing. You're not his son. You don't deserve to be his son. After Scar piles on all of this false blame on Simba, convincing him that he is the one responsible for his father's death, Simba, he asks Scar, well, what am I going to do? And Scar tells him, run away, run, run away and never return. And that's exactly what our enemy tells us to. See, this is the classic way that our enemy suggests that we deal with our sin and our guilt. Run away. Isolate yourself from the rest of the group. Never return. And the more isolated our enemy can make us, the more vulnerable and weak we become. We no longer have the protection and the support of the rest of the family. We hear the liar's voice in our head whispering his false wisdom to us rather than the truths of our father. Isolation will kill you. Do anything but isolate. Do anything but isolate. Don't run away. No matter what you've done, don't run away. When you feel guilty, whether that guilt is real or false, doesn't matter if it's real guilt or false guilt, either one. Don't run away. Draw closer to your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're here to help each other. We say this all of the time, and we need to keep saying it all the time so that the culture of our church makes this true about us. Is that our job is not to judge and condemn each other. Our job is to help each other, to come alongside each other, offer each other a helping hand, encouraging each other, speaking God's truth into each other's lives, praying for each other, protecting each other, providing for each other. That's our job for one another. We're going to end right there this morning. Tonight we'll pick up the story when Simba is a grown lion. And it's the rest of his story, and it's really the rest of our story too. But, the thing I really want to encourage you guys with this morning is this importance of not running away. Don't isolate. It doesn't matter what you've done, man. It does not matter what it is you've done. The one thing you should never do is run away from your brothers. We need each other. And in those moments, we need each other more than ever. Okay? So let's bow our heads. Father God, we want to thank you that we really are sons of the King, no matter what the liar speaks to us. And Lord, I pray for each of us here that we don't isolate, that we don't run away, Lord. No matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how awful we might feel, no matter how guilty we think we are, no matter what it is, whether it's a real thing or an imagined thing, Lord, we pray that our brotherhood would be one of loving, caring, strength, and support for one another. Make that so among us. In Jesus' name, amen.